Sunday, June 30th, was like many summer Sundays of these last 5 years. Church at National City Christian, catching up on rest, reading voluminous Sunday papers, and seeing the TV interview shows, and in the evening, a lovely boat ride. I slept late, a luxury and insurance policy, and then read and read and read while we drank innumerable cups of coffee for me and tea for Lyndon, and then, in a great hurry, dressed and left for National City Christian Church. Lyndon called back to ask Susan Stevenson to join us. It was his sweet thoughtfulness, a sensible sermon that could reach everyone of our age, at least, by Dr. George Davis, on what to do when you lose a loved one. And then back out the door with three or four cameramen retreating in front of us, and lots of Sunday tourist cameramen on the sidelines calling, "Come this way, Mr. President. Shake hands with us. I'm from Kansas, or Canada, or Texas." Susan marching down the steps with us, I shaking a few hands here and there, and Linda really rising to it with warmth, especially for the children, and then back in the car and to the second floor, where Tom Johnson soon joined us, and Mr. Saul Pett, who is doing a sort of in-depth article on Lyndon. He had written an amusing letter asking Lyndon to use his influence to get an hour of my time to complete his insight into Lyndon, and Susan Stevenson came in. We sat down for a good lunch, accompanied by the very diverse intellectual fare of Hubert Humphrey on Face the Nation. Oh, he got an A+. A heart in my mouth, I rode with him every step of the way. And George Wallace on Meet the Press, who was, I thought, very effective, voicing many of the feelings that I know are in the minds of people all over the country, and indeed smolder in the back of my mind. And though I could not be for him now or ever, I found a little bit of me cheering for him, because he is so universally cut to pieces by all the press and TV. And then, after lunch, I had a good hour and a half session with Mr. Saul Pett, a sort of a philosophic analysis of Lyndon, a picture of his mood, what will the first few months out of office be like, a decompression chamber, what will you miss most, and least, what do you look forward to most in retirement, and then any insight on the day of March 31st. It was easy enough, and at times I thought I did very well. And as soon as he left, I went to the bowling lanes and had 3 good games. Yesterday I'd had 30 laps in the pool. I hunger for exercise. It balances my life. And then back upstairs, rested and read a few more papers and talked to Ashton, who was gathering our guests for the evening. And at 6, they began to arrive in the yellow oval room. The Jerry Williams, young, attractive Austinites from the academic community, whom I want to know better, Bill Whites and Mary, 2 cabinet members, the Marvin Watsons and the Ellen Boyds, George and Helen Mahon and their 2 grandchildren, and once more Susan Stevenson and Ashton and John. I took the Williams and the Boyds, and we left for the boat. Lyndon was still in his office, and the rest were to follow. Temples and the Christians met us at the Sequoia, and we started off on what is a frequent and well-loved summer evening entertainment, a boat ride down the Potomac. It was a hot, still, beautiful, heavy summer evening with a frail silver sickle of a new moon, and the breeze on the top deck very welcome. I settled down first for a long discussion with Alan Boyd about the controversy in San Antonio on the freeway that will run through Breckenridge Park if it is not stopped. It has been bedeviled with every cross current of conflict for some 6 or 8 years now. Determined conservationists, determined highway engineers, baffled and sometimes apathetic public, and I can't make heads or tails of it. In general, I think it's a sad thing, and that the public will probably come out the loser and the freeway go through. Somehow or another, highways have become a symbol of the civilization of these several decades. They spell success. They are as inviolate as church and motherhood once were. And later on, I had a talk with George Mahon and willed him some of our projects, that is, giving the boyhood home in Johnson City to the National Park Service sometime after the new administration takes over, a prelude to some later date when we will give the ranch and the whole complex. I had treaded gingerly with him on the beautification bill, which is coming up tomorrow for an absolutely crucial vote. But finding, to my relieved and happy surprise, that yes, he would be for it, though I expect in a limited way, I thanked him and told him how much it would mean to me, but even more, to the next generation, lived in and looked at, and hopefully had a beautiful countryside to love in our land. Then I had a good bridge game with Flavor Boyd and Helen Mayon and Joanne Christian, and dinner served on the TV trays, upstairs in the light summer breeze, and I called Paul Dresser and suggested that we go as far as Mount Vernon and have the ceremony. We arrived at the perfect appointed moment, sunset. The bugle called to us, the military stood at attention, saluting smartly, and the rest of us, erect and grave, looking at George Washington's White House on the hill. How well these founding fathers chose their home sites, and in the plaintive, heart-filling notes, taps on the summer air, and everybody with his own thoughts. It was a few moments to remember. After dinner, we saw a film on the presidential month of June, the best I've seen yet. And then we docked about 10 o'clock and were soon home, had a massage, and went to sleep early.